arms of all of our lost brothers and sisters and family members that are lost that need Jesus Christ. Because right now, I'm not judging anyone, but according to the Word of God, their destiny is hell. And that's pretty harsh, but it's the truth of the Word of God. And until they accept Jesus Christ, change from their ways, and ask Jesus to be the keeper of their soul, there's no hope for them whatsoever unless they step out on faith and take God at His Word, which they can do. And they have time. But I thank God, you know what? Sometimes we think we can just do whatever we want to do, but you got to come by the way of the cross, amen. You know what? You say, I get saved at the last second. Oh, no, you won't. God, might not be listening. Why take a chance like that? That you know that, you know what? It's just seconds away from death, and you think you're going to try to get saved in those last few seconds. I would never try. Man, that's like trying to get out of a burning building with it on fire and thinking that you're going to get out of it, because you may not. So don't take risks like that. Think about your salvation. Think about eternal security. Today is the day of salvation, amen. And so let's pray. Father, we lift up the mighty needs within our church, and especially those names that we called out Sunday night, that, Lord, that we've all been praying for every time we pray. And I lift them up again tonight, Lord, and I ask you that, Lord, that you'll just go to those ones that are listening tonight, that, Lord, that they have never, ever remember asking Jesus Christ to come into their heart and life. I pray for them tonight, Lord, for their salvation, and God, that you'll come to their rescue. Be with all those that are sick and afflicted. Lord, those that have COVID-19, those that are dealing with cancer, those that need the great physician, Father. Lord, I thank God, Lord, for my co-worker, Randall Burnham. Father, I lift him up as he's still going through therapy. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll just use him. Lord, I pray for my supervisor, Kevin Randall. Lord, continue blessing him. Let him recover from his hip surgery and also from his heart conditions. And Father, I thank God for the many, Lord, that's in our church. Lord, I pray for Gail George. I pray for Mary Senior, Father. Lord, I pray for each and every one of our elders, those that are seniors that we lift up to the highest respect, that we look up to, Father, that have set an example of testimony for many years in front of us. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll just be with our church, protect it, and may we be a light in this world that penetrates the darkness, and Lord, that makes a difference, that we may just lead and put the finger toward the cross, that, Lord, that each and every one of us got to come by the way of the cross. And Father, I thank you for salvation. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. All right, tonight, let's reach over and let's grab our old hymnal here. And as we lift up the mighty name of Jesus in song tonight, one of the most important things that you'll do besides prayer is worship. And I'm going to tell you, you need to be able to learn about doing worship wherever you are, because it's one of the most powerful things that we have in our possession today. Amen. And so I thank God. Here is an old song that, man, I want you to sing it with me. I haven't sung it in a long time, but I thank God, you know what? It's as powerful as it's always been. Living below in this soul sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving along to face temptation's scorn, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them everyone. We get alone in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me from the end. In the end, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go but to the Lord? Amen. Boy, I thank God as we look and realize from the mighty Word of God. Amen. Take your Bibles if you have them. If not, look on with me. I thank God as we begin to look at the powerful Word of God. Amen. I thank God there's nothing more powerful than this Word that we have, that we read it, we get it inside of us. Amen. And I thank God that's the power that we have each and every day as we look at the mountains of the Bible series. And I thank God here our mountain man tonight is the mountain man Moses. Amen. Boy, I thank God as he was born to be the deliverer of the nation of Israel that got in bondage down in Egypt. Hallelujah. And, well, I thank God that we begin to look and realize that the mountain man Moses, here as we talk about our third mountain, amen, Mount Horeb, or it has two names, Mount Sinai. Hallelujah. I thank God out of Exodus chapter 3, Exodus chapter 17, and Exodus chapter 32. Hallelujah. Boy, I thank God tonight. One of the things that we're going to be talking about, there are three things that we're going to talk about, and one of them is the burning bush. Amen. In Exodus chapter 3. In Exodus chapter 17, we're going to talk about the water that comes out of the rock. And then in Exodus chapter 32, we're going to be talking about the tablets of the law, the testimony of the tablets, and that were broken and thrown at the sin and the mischief into the camp of those that had sinned. Amen. Each one of those has a great speaking that deals with the mountains, both of Mount Horeb being referred to and Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai was where we got the Ten Commandments, amen. And so I thank God tonight as we look at Moses was that deliverer, amen, that we were given. And so the mount that speaks is what I call this tonight. The mount that speaks. I thank God as Moses was called from this mountain out of that burning bush, amen. It's the mountain of discovery. And so tonight as we get into the wonderful Word of God, you'll begin to realize that if we can point right around in this area right in here is where Mount Sinai is. It's small. You may not be able to see it, but maybe if I can blow it up just a little bit. Here is Mount Sinai. And as you see all of around here, Rephidim, all of this area was the wilderness of Sinai in this area. Amen. And so I thank God as we begin to realize that this is the place where even in the book of Leviticus that they kept for a long time around the mountain there as the book of Leviticus is wrote down. Amen. And so I thank God the mount that speaks. Hallelujah. Well, I thank God as we begin to look at the powerful Word of God, amen, and what it begins to tell us out of this tonight, amen. Hallelujah. I tell you, God began to appear to Moses out of that burning bush, amen. That burning bush had a threefold significance as it was on that mountain. It was a picture of God, amen, that tells us out of Deuteronomy 33:16 that it revealed the Lord's glory and His power, and yet it was not consumed, amen. Moses needed to be reminded of the glory and that power of God, amen, for he was about to undertake an impossible task. I tell you, so I thank God we begin to see that that power and glory was revealed, but that bush also symbolized Israel going through the fire of affliction, amen, but not being consumed. And I tell you how often nations have tried to exterminate the Jews, amen, and yet they have failed. Finally, I thank God that bush, it illustrated Moses' humbleness as a shepherd, amen. I tell you, because who with God's help would become a fire that could not be put out? Did you hear what I said? Moses was called from the burning bush. And I thank God the bush, amen, was a representation of God. Boy, I thank God, but the fire that was in that bush, I tell you, was Moses himself. I tell you, God began to get his attention out in the backside of the wilderness, amen. And I tell you, Moses went out there and he looked to the left and he looked to the right. I tell you, he didn't see anything, but he made a mistake. Hallelujah. He should have looked up. I praise God because God had something in store. Amen. I tell you, he began to do a calling in that bush at that time. Amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, as we begin to realize that Moses was brought to that place where he bowed before God and adored him in wonder, amen, as he began to get his attention. And so I thank God it was through the burning bush of Exodus chapter 3 that the Bible says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. And I thank God it came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Boy, I tell you, as we begin to look and realize about this, that God was doing a great work. Boy, I thank God as we look and realize of all the things that are transpiring with us, amen. We see that Moses spent 40 years serving as a shepherd in Midian, amen. You know what? Why, man, I tell you, Moses just couldn't quite get it right. You know what? He was trying to take care of himself, and he just couldn't get it right. God says, I'm going to call you to take care of a nation. And so I thank God during those many years and nights in the field, no doubt, that he meditated on the things of God and he prayed for his people who were suffering in Egypt, amen. And it's significant that God calls people who are busy, amen. Gideon was threshing in the grain in the book of Judges, and Samuel was serving in the tabernacle, amen. And David was caring for sheep, amen. And Elisha was plowing in the field, amen. And I tell you, the apostles were managing their fishing business, hallelujah. Amen. But and Matthew was collecting taxes. Amen. God has nothing good to say about laziness. Amen. He's always going to call a man and he's going to call a woman that's already working for the Lord. Hallelujah. And I tell you, whatever mountain that you're on today, the mountain of discovery, I tell you, he's out there waiting to discover somebody else. Amen. Because I thank God this was a mountain that began to speak. Amen. Well, I thank God as we look and realize that he says it came, he came on the backside of the desert and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Hallelujah. Amen. He goes on, he says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Amen. Boy, I thank God. Can you imagine the significance of a bush that God ignited it? He turned it into a miracle, and that's what he wanted to do with Moses. Amen. I tell you, some see in this burning bush a picture of the nation of Israel. Amen. That they are God's light in the world, persecuted, but not consumed. But that burning bush was also a picture of what God had planned for Moses. Amen. That he was the weak bush, but God was the empowering fire. Amen. Let me say that right. Hallelujah. And so I thank God, with God's help, Moses could accomplish anything. And I'm going to tell you out there tonight that with God's help, you can do anything. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit is in us all that have been born by the marvelous, amazing grace of God. And so I thank God, God spoke to Moses, and he assumed that he was the God of his fathers and that he felt the suffering of the Jews in Egypt. But I thank God he was now ready to deliver them out of Egypt and lead them into the promised land. And so Moses was the one that he called him out of that bush. Amen. He spoke to him, praise God. And I thank God, God's statement, he says, I'm going to send you. But listen, he says, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Boy, I thank God he said, draw not nigh hither, but put off of thy shoes from off of thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Amen. Boy, I thank God as we look at the mount that speaks. Hallelujah. Boy, I tell you, of all the things, what Moses did, amen, as he got an answer to the prayer that he had been looking to, praise God. Boy, Moses said, you know what? I'm just an old nobody. Moses thought of himself as a nobody. He wasn't really important, amen. You know what? It took 40 years, amen. Can you imagine? He was 80 years old. And I tell you, he used to be the prince of Egypt, hallelujah. But God had to get all of that out of him and get him on the backside and get him humbled where he could use him, amen. Get his shoes off his feet and pay some reverence unto the Holy Spirit of God, amen. Boy, I thank God, every one of us, it was what Moses heard, that God spoke to him and assured him that he was the God of the fathers, and that he felt the suffering of the Jews, amen. And so I thank God, as each and every one of us realize, amen, that you're always somebody when God gets a hold of you, amen. Boy, I thank God, you know what? Moses said, hey, I don't know what your name is. I tell you, he said, are you the representative of God? Moses had to be able to disclose his character to the Jewish people, amen. And of course, God's name Jehovah had been known centuries ago. You know why? Go back over to Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, and the Bible was familiar with the patriarchs, amen. I tell you, what Moses asked, he said, what does your name mean? What kind of God are you, was what he was asking, amen. And God explained that the name Jehovah is a name, amen, based on the Hebrew verb to be or to become. He was the self-existent one who always was, always is, and always will be. Hallelujah, amen. I thank God, he's the faithful, he's the dependable God, amen, who calls himself I Am. Boy, I thank God that centuries later, Jesus would take the name I Am and he would complete it. Hallelujah. He says, I am the bread of life. Hallelujah. He says, I am the light of the world. Amen. I am the true vine. Praise God. And so on. Praise God. Hallelujah. The eternal God knows the end from the beginning. I tell you, so he was able to tell Moses exactly what would happen when he returned to Egypt. Praise God. That the elders of Israel would accept Moses, amen, as their leader, and that they would believe that God was about to deliver them. Amen. Boy, the king of Egypt would resist God's message, and he would suffer the terrible judgment of God, because I thank God, as he told him, that the rod that was in your hand, the same rod that would turn into a serpent and take out those of the enemies, hallelujah, the same rod that would cast all of the things upon Pharaoh to be able to get the nation released, amen, from bondage, hallelujah. And so I thank God, as we begin to realize of all of these things, amen, God said, hey, you know what, any old bush will do, Moses, I'll just take you, amen. And so Moses saw something immediately, amen, that it was being burned and it wasn't being consumed, amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, as we begin to realize that Moses was being introduced to one of the most, you know what, Moses was trained, he was educated, he was a polished man, amen, but that was 40 years ago. And now, finally, God could use him because he got out and got humble on the backside of the desert, amen. There was nothing wrong with Moses trying to be that, but God wanted him to be something else, amen. He had the best schooling. He had the best education, amen. But Moses had to learn to let God handle his affairs his own way, amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, God tells Moses that he wants to use him. And I thank God, God used a bush to communicate to Moses that this says, I want to call you. I'm going to use you. Hallelujah. And so I thank God, that's one of the best ways that God calls each and every one of us. He's got a way that he communicates to each and every one of us. Amen. And so I thank God, as we go through life, that was one of the things that began to catch the attention. Amen. And so that mount, that mountain that spoke through the bush to God, that called him into the service to be the deliverer that he was. Amen. And so I thank God, he revealed his glory. And the memory of that burning bush must have encouraged Moses during the many miles in that wilderness, amen, that he began to go through, praise God. And so I thank God, God appoints Moses. God answers Moses, amen. He says, I am that I am, praise God. And I thank God, I'm going to send you, amen, and you're going to be my deliverer for the nation of Israel, praise God. And so it takes us on that mount that speaks not only of that burning bush, hallelujah, but it takes us on in to the water from the rock, amen. Boy, I thank God as we look at that Moses, as we realize this is a type of a blessing that each and every one of us see, because here is every one of us today get thirsty and we need that spiritual quenching, amen, that God had met our needs, amen. Boy, I thank God the people were criticizing Moses, amen. They were thirsting and they were murmuring. And what was bad is that if you murmur against the man, the pastor, or the preacher of God, I tell you, you're murmuring against God himself. Because that is God's man. That's a type and a representation of the Spirit of God. And so I thank God they were murmuring against Moses, which meant they were murmuring against God. Amen. And so I thank God they were tempting the Lord by their attitude. For they were saying that God did not care and that he would not help them. And they were trying the patience of God out in the wilderness. And so in Exodus chapter 17, amen, that we come to our next part, amen. Moses right here illustrates what the trusting Christian does in the hour of their trials, amen. That he turned to the Lord and he asked for guidance, amen. Boy, I thank God the Lord instructed him to take his rod and to smite the rock and that the water would come out, amen. That rock was Christ, amen. Boy, I thank God the smiting of the rock speaks of Christ's death on the cross, hallelujah, where he felt the rod of the curse of the law, amen. And I tell you, it was this same rod that you'll recall that he turned into a serpent, amen, in Exodus chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, amen. And he helped to bring the plagues on Egypt with this rod, amen. In order, I thank God, as this took place, amen. Later on, he brought manna in chapter 16, illustrating God's coming to earth. In chapter 17 that we're in here, we see the smiting of the rock, and it pictures his death on the cross. And that water is the symbol of the Holy Spirit that was given after Christ had been glorified, amen, according to the New Testament of John chapter 7, amen. I thank God. You know what? It reminds me of the second thing of the rock. In the book of Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 through 13, that was the second experience with the rock that God commanded Moses to speak to the rock. But in his own self-will, Moses smote that rock, amen. And then because of this sin, he was not permitted to enter into the land of milk and honey, the land of Canaan, just because of that. By once again striking that rock, Moses spoiled the type of Christ, because Christ can only die once, amen. And I thank God you can read about that over in Romans chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 in the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 26 down to verse 28. If you need some New Testament to go with it, hallelujah. Amen. And so the Spirit was given once, amen. I thank God it come at Pentecost, amen. Jesus went to the cross. And I thank God when he ascended to the right hand of the Father, he said, I am not going to leave you comfortless, but I'll send the Holy Spirit, amen, to comfort you and to be with you. Hallelujah. And so I thank God the believer may receive those feelings by asking God for it. Amen. And so I thank God every one of us got a drink of that spiritual drink. Amen. That water from the rock. Amen. And so I thank God every one of us as we go through life today, we begin to realize it. It tells us in Exodus chapter 17. Amen. It said, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. Listen, Rephidim. Let me back this thing up real quick and get you back over to that other picture real quick and tell you again, right here. Well, Rephidim is right here. Rephidim is right here. And so I thank God as we get back where we was, hallelujah, in Exodus 17. I thank God he said he pitched in Rephidim and there was no water for the people to drink. And his Bible said, therefore, in verse 2 of Exodus 17, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? The Bible says in verse 3, and the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They, I tell you what, I'm looking to see if my picture was still on there, because I thank God as, let me see if it is. I'm dropping a couple things here. Let me see if I can get that thing back up. There it is. Thank the Lord. I didn't know whether if I'd lost you or not, but I thank God it tells us, he says, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. We continue on in verse 5 in Exodus 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders. He said, I want you to take a witness to be able to see what I'm fixing to do, because I'm going to step out, and as that rod begins to be there and touch that stone, I'm going to perform a miracle in front of every one of them elders, is what he said. Listen, he said, and go before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, and take in thy hand and go. In verse 6, the Bible says, and behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. Amen. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Amen. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? And so I thank God as we begin to realize the blessings of God that each and every one of us have every day. Amen. Boys, we begin to look and realize that God wants to bless us. God wants to use us. Amen. And all of the many things that we have in life today. But boy, hallelujah, I thank God as we look and realize today that the greatest blessing that God wants to do is as he wants to teach us to trust him. Amen. Because God met their thirsty need. Amen. He met their hungry need. Amen. And I thank God Christ was the bread of life. Amen. And I tell you, every one of us, we realize that there was that all that congregation of the land that here the rock began to be touched by the rod, and Jesus began to touch it, and water began to come out of it. Amen. Boy, I thank God the request was spoken. Amen. And I thank God as we begin to realize that every one of us, that we take it to the Lord in prayer. And that's exactly what we got to remember in these times that we're in today. Amen. Because God began to receive the prayers of Moses. Amen. For the direction of what he needed to do. And he spoke to him. He said, listen, you take that rod, you take the elders there and bring them on over here. And praise God, I'm going to show you a miracle, because I'm going to bring water out of the rock. Amen. I thank God rather than doing other things. Amen. And so it was the rock that was in Horeb, amen, that he said in verse 6 of Exodus 17. God told him to strike the rock, and that water will come out of it, that the people may drink. Now, I thank God that rock is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, amen. You say, Pastor, how do you know that rock is a picture of Jesus? Amen. Because the Bible tells us so. You can go over in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. And also in Psalms 61, verse 2, the Bible says, well, that when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. Amen. That's Jesus. Jesus is the rock that's higher than I am. Amen. And I thank God. God said, strike the rock and water will come. I tell you, every one of us, had that rock not been struck, of course, I tell you, they leaned on that rock. They talked to that rock. They could have placed their cup up to that rock and died from drought. Amen. But if the rock had never been struck, had the rock never received the blow, they would have never had any water to save them. Amen. And so I thank God that it took a deliverer that was obeying the prayers and the command of the Lord himself. Amen. We've got to listen to the words of Jesus in these days that we're in today. John chapter 7, the Bible says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Amen. Only when that rock was struck did it bring forth life-giving waters. Amen. And that rock is a picture of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as that rock was struck, it brought forth life-giving, saving water. Amen. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ brings forth a life-saving water today. Amen. Boy, I thank God. The psalmist said that he opened the rock and the water gushed out, and it ran in dry places like a river. Woo! I thank God, every one of us, amen. Boy, I thank God he learned it. I thank God, every one of us, we need to learn things like this about the power of prayer. My mom taught me about the power of prayer. My grandpa Bailey taught me about the power of prayer. And we need to have a little talk with Jesus, amen. Boy, I thank God you can learn it from your moms and dads. I'll tell you, you better guard it. And I thank God, every one of us, We need to be able to use it today. The power of prayer, amen. And so I thank God it was Jesus Christ that suffered once for our sins, but never the second time, amen. Because in 1 Corinthians 10:4, the Bible says that that rock was Christ, and Moses was to speak to that rock because the rock had already been struck, amen. You know what? I thank God when he went over in Numbers chapter 20, that was the second time, and he says, speak to that rock. Don't strike it again. Speak to it. Boy, but I tell you, Moses made a mistake, didn't he? Yeah, he went over there and he struck it again. And because of that, it cost him his right going into the land of Canaan. And he was not allowed to go there in. But the Lord took him and buried him so that the devil could not find his body, amen. And so I thank God we see that deliverance that comes to each and every one of us. We're in a battle every day of our lives, amen, against Satan, amen. And I thank God Amalek began to come up at that time and fought with Israel in Rephidim that I pointed to on the map, amen. And I thank God every one of us, we've got to fight those battles every single day of our lives, amen, because it's in those places that we've got to be able to fight. Now, I thank God, as new Christians sometimes are amazed at the Christian life, one of the battles that we go through every day in life, amen, is that Israel had to fight, but this was one of the first times that they had to fight for themselves because God had been fighting their battles for them, amen. They were under a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and God was leading the way, but this time they were going to have to fight their own battles, amen, and they were going to have to get up, and boy, I tell you, Moses had to get up on the mountain and raise up his hands, and every time his hands were raised, they won the battle. When they dropped, they began to lose the battle, but I thank God for those men of God that got up under him and supported him, just like men and women of God do with prayer. Today, when we support one another in fellowship and lift them up in the mighty name of Jesus, the Amalekites did not appear until after the water was given. For when the Holy Spirit comes in to dwell, amen, then the flesh begins to oppose. And I thank God it tells us that the Amalekites pulled a sneak attack, amen, and came up from the rear. But as Christians, we must always watch and pray. And I thank God, you know what? We're always going to fight the flesh. And I thank God that's exactly what Exodus chapter 17 is talking about, amen, because there's always a battle that's going to take place, amen. And so I thank God as we look and realize that one of the things that we're going to have with the Amalekites, amen, is that we're going to have a battle against the flesh, amen. The war between the flesh and the Holy Spirit. The flesh wants to do one thing, and the Holy Spirit wants you to do another thing, amen. And so that is the representation from the water, from the rock, amen. Because I thank God that water was a type that immediately that it causes war. The reception of the Holy Spirit, that war is between the flesh and the Holy Spirit, amen. Up to this point, God had fought for them on every battle. But Israel was to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But the command now is to go out and to fight. And I thank God you've got to fight today as a Christian. You've got to fight every day to walk up the sidewalk. You've got to fight and stand firm on what you believe and have a testimony that will shed a light and won't break down every bit of your testimony that you've had from day one. And I thank God, every one of us, the Amalekites, pictures the old carnal nature, that he was the grandson of Esau, who before and after birth tried to murder Jacob, and who preferred the pottage to the birthright. And this carnal nature wars against the spirit today. And that's exactly what this mountain, Mount Horeb and Sinai, represents to us in this picture, praise God. We got to be able to fight that battle. And no matter what, as we go forth, that is a battle that we got to continue to fight each and every time, which brings us to our next and last, amen, that the mount speaks of. And it speaks of the tables of the law, the tables of the testimony that were broken in Exodus chapter 32, amen. Boy, I thank God the Bible says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, referring to Mount Sinai, the people gathered themselves together. They got impatient with unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden, it didn't take him much to go along with him, did him? He didn't put up much of a fight either. But you know what? God never did nothing to Aaron because of, not because he was the high priest or not because he was the brother of Moses, but because I thank God as he reflected back on the ones that did this. Aaron was at fault. He should have never done this. But I thank God. He said, here, Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. In verse 4, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it, a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, with a small g, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. In verse 5, and when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. In verse 6, and they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down from thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way to which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed their own and said, these be thy gods with a little g, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. In verse 9, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. In verse 10, now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doeth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Verse 12, wherefore shall the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Boy, Moses was standing up against God for the people, amen. I thank God. He put his own life on the line, amen, for this. In verse 13, the Bible says, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thy own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land, that I've spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from Mount Sinai. And the two tablets of the testimony were in his hands. Later on, he's going to come back up. And I thank God. But listen, he went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. And the tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written by the hand of God. Verse 16, and the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war that is in the camp. Verse 18, and he said, is it not the voice of them that shout for mastery? Neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. Verse 19, and it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. I thank God as we look and realize from this that we realize that what took place from this moment on, that as the anger of Moses got the best of him, amen, God's people were sinning. Moses was having a mountaintop experience with the Lord, and the people were sinning in the valley below. The spiritual leadership is not all the blessings. There's burdens that goes with it as well. Many of pastors carry a lot of burden for the flock in the membership when something happens that others will never have no idea what kind of burden that they carry. But they do, because they want every one of those that are in the congregation to have the very best of health and the very best of conditions, amen. And Moses was one of those leaders, amen. Boy, I thank God he was an intercessor. And I thank God as the people were sinning, amen. No matter how you look at sin, there was a great offense against God. The Jews were God's people, chosen by his grace, redeemed from Egypt by his power, amen. And he had led them, he had fed them, he had protected them from the enemy. He made them a part of his covenant. He had given them his holy laws, and the people agreed to obey. But here at Mount Sinai, the people had seen an awesome display of God's glory and had trembled at his power. And yet, in spite of all these marvelous experiences, they impudently disobeyed the Lord and lapsed into idolatry and immorality. Moses had agreed to God's giving him Aaron as a helper, but now Aaron had become a leader in helping the people to sin. And I tell you, when did Aaron come down from the mountain? Why did he not rebuke the people and turn to God for help? Amen. To say that Aaron made the calf as a symbol of Jehovah was one of the weakest things that could ever be said. But I tell you, the basic cause of this sin was unbelief. The people became impatient while waiting on Moses, and without true faith, they decided that they needed something that they could see physically. You know, impatience and unbelief lead to idolatry, and idolatry leads to immorality. You know what? Right now, God is trying to get some attention in America today. And he stopped all of the things that idols that Americans have made out of those today. And I thank God, of course, the Lord knew what was going on in the camp of Israel, amen. And I thank God for the judging of it. In his grace, God forgave their sins, but in his government, he had to discipline the people. I thank God. How many tears have been caused by the painful consequences of forgiven sins? Moses had a right to be angry and to humble Aaron and the people by breaking the two tablets of law that were written by God. Moses dramatically showed the people the greatness of their sin, amen. And I thank God, instead of confessing his sins, Aaron made excuses, and he blamed the people for their depravity. Moses for his delay, and the furnace for its delivery of the calf. But after dealing with the people, Moses returned to the Lord on the mountain, listen, and he offered up his own life that the people might be spared. And I thank God, you can read even the New Testament of Romans chapter 9, verse 3. Give me just a moment to get right over there, because there's nothing like getting right fresh over with the pages of God's Word turning. And I thank God, in Romans chapter 9, the Bible says in verse 3, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen." Now thank God, every one of us, as we realize the great thing that took place here. Moses, as he returned to the Lord on the mountain, and he offered to give up his own life that the people might be spared. Amen. When a person dies, his or her name is removed from the book of life. I thank God. This ain't the Lamb's book of life that it's referring to here. This is the book of life that when you die, you're removed from it. And I thank God. It talks about this in Psalm 69 and Ezekiel 13, verse 9. The book of life is for the living, and it's not to be confused with the Lamb's book of life, which records the names of those that are of the saved in Revelation 21, 27 and Luke chapter 10, verse 28, man. But as intercessor, Moses stood between the nation and their past sins as a mediator. And he stood between the nation and their future blessing. And Moses was not content just to have the nation forgiven. He wanted to be sure that God, listen, would go with them as they continued their march to the promised land. Amen. And so I thank God, as we look and realize, each and every one of us, every day, that God wants to bless us. Amen. And I thank God, during the months at Sinai, the Jewish people had promised to obey whatever God told them to do. Amen. The Lord knew that it wasn't in their hearts to keep their promises, amen. And so there was a great sin, and then there was a great test. In the leadership and the difficult experience of this, with the people that break down, Moses was tested during this time. God called Israel, the people that whom you brought out of Egypt, amen. I thank God. And so the Lord took a different approach. He offered to wipe out Israel and make a new nation out of Moses' descendants. And I thank God, but he wouldn't let that happen, amen. And so I thank God. God had a right to be angry at Israel's sin of adultery and sensuality, but Moses convinced God not to destroy the nation of Israel. And in writing this account, Moses used human terms to describe divine actions. I thank God, which is why he wrote in verse 14 that God repented. The Hebrew word meant that God's change of approach in dealing with his people is what it meant. That God's character doesn't change, but God does respond to the prayers and the confession of his people. Boy, I'm going to tell you, you know what? When God can lift you up on high is when you get down on your knees and begin to cry out to him. The great discipline, God in his grace forgives our sins, but God in his government allows sin to work out its terrible consequences in human life. And we reap what we sow. God put away David's sin, but he warned him that the sword would not depart from his own household. And it didn't. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, what a tragedy it is to reap the consequences of forgiven sin. Moses disciplined the people as he came down the mountain. He spoke to Joshua to join him. And one day Joshua would replace Moses. And so he needed to learn how to handle these difficult matters. But Moses was angry. Now thank God as Moses turned to the people and asked, who is on the Lord's side? I thank God. Moses destroyed this shameful golden calf by burning it. And I thank God that as he took care of this, he returned to God on Mount Sinai, where for 40 more days, listen, and nights, he fasted and he prayed for his people. And I thank God in Exodus 32, verses 30 through 34. On up ahead, and also in chapter 34 and 28, in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 18 through 20, he told God that he was willing to be killed if it would mean life for the Jews, but God rejected his offer, and the Lord assured Moses that his angel would go before them and that Moses was to lead the people just as before. However, God would punish them in his own way and in his own time. And, and had the Jews known all that Moses endured for their sake, they might have appreciated him a lot more, but such is the price of faithful spiritual leadership in the lands today. God disciplined the people, amen. And I thank God the first discipline was to send a plague among the people. But you know what? They aren't told how many were killed. The Levites had killed 3,000 men who were engaged in the worship and in moral practices. But God knew who all the guilty people were. And he knows exactly who the guilty ones are today in America that have forsaken his covenant that they have made with him in past days. Sometimes God passes the sentence of judgment immediately. You know what? I saw some men and women of God. God snuffed them on out of this world quick because they weren't doing what they were supposed to do. But I tell you, immediately, I thank God. Whether in the Old Testament or the New, there's a sin leading to death. Read about it in 1 John 5, verses 16 and 17. God's second judgment was to refuse to go before Israel as they marched to the promised land in Exodus 33. But God would keep the covenant promises that he had made to the patriarchs. But instead of going before Israel in the person of his son, the angel of the Lord, he would appoint an angel to accompany the Jews. And the reason? Because they were a stiff-necked people. If they had been a people who were suffering and afflicted, the Lord would have come to them in grace and mercy. But a stubborn people can only be disciplined. And better that, God would depart from them, that he would come suddenly upon them and destroy them with all of his might. And so when Moses gave Israel this message, they responded by taking off their ornaments and mourning. And I thank God, every one of us. The third judgment was to move Moses' tent of meeting to a site outside the camp. This wasn't the tabernacle, because the tabernacle had not been built yet at this time. And so there would possibly be a personal meet with God. And this isn't, like I said, the tabernacle of the Lord. But I thank God it was a special tent that Moses used that he wanted to consult with God. And God graciously met with Moses and spoke with him. And I thank God in Numbers chapter 12 verses 1 through 8, Deuteronomy chapter 34 verse 10, that the cloudy pillar that led the nation on their journey would hover at the tent door, and the people would know that Moses and the Lord were in a conference together. Because I thank God every one of us, as we look and realize that God always wants to do something for each and every one of us in all the days of our life. And so I hope and pray that as this mountain begins to speak to every one of you, Mount Horeb, it was the mountain of discovery. I thank God it was the mount that speaks. Exodus chapter 3, Exodus chapter 17, Exodus chapter 32, amen. The burning bush, amen. Moses, as he was a type of the Lord, of that fire, amen. the water from the rock and the war between the flesh and the Holy Spirit that represented in Exodus 17, amen, where they fought with Amalek, amen. And then Moses, the intercessor, where the tables of the testimony were the Ten Commandments were received, and the tablets of the testimony were broken in Exodus 32 because of the sin of the golden calf that was found in the camp when he came off of the mountain. And I thank God, each and every one of us, as we go through life today,